Today's guest on Medio Scientific's The Business of LoRaWAN is Fabio Rosa, founder and CEO of Tago.io. Fabio leads one of the most widely used platforms in the LoRaWAN ecosystem, a platform built not just to visualize sensor data, but to support full-stack IoT solutions at scale. With over 1,000 supported sensor types and a community-powered GitHub integration model, Tago.io makes it easy for anyone to deploy LoRaWAN-based applications. What really stands out is Fabio's relentless focus on customer success, not just helping developers, but enabling their customers to succeed. That mindset, paired with thoughtful engineering, has helped Tago.io grow into a globally adopted platform that powers everything from small student projects to professional deployments with hundreds of thousands of devices. In this episode, Fabio shares insights on AI's role in IoT, how to balance innovation with real customer pain points, and why sometimes the best advice you can give is to recommend a different platform entirely. This podcast is sponsored by Medio Scientific, dedicated to spreading knowledge about LoRaWAN. We offer tutorials, run demonstration projects, provide access to a global LoRaWAN, and produce this podcast, all in pursuit of LoRaWAN excellence. If you'd like to learn more, visit medioscientific.com. Now, let's dig into the conversation with Fabio Rosa. Fabio, thanks so much for coming on the show. Excited to have you here.
That's great to be here, Nick.
Yeah, I'm pumped to have you on because Tago is such a big part of helping people visualize what's happening with LoRaWAN and with really with IoT in general. Maybe we start off with how many sensor types does Tago support right now?
Yeah, we do have some decoders that are ready to go, mainly for LoRaWAN. It's not only about the LoRaWAN, but when you talk about the LoRaWAN, it's a little bit more than 500 different types of sensors. However, it's very easy to add a decoder for their own device. So if they design a new device that have a need for a new decoder, they can do this very quickly.
Right. I mean, and 500, that's a fair amount. That's a good amount. I think you have over 1,000 overall. So there's lots of other devices you can put that are not LoRaWAN specific, right?
Oh, yeah. And then now we use GitHub. So what we are doing is we are working for the suppliers so they can add by themselves. It took a little bit of time, but now let's say there is a manufacturer in Europe that has a LoRaWAN device, and maybe we don't know. I think we believe that we know everyone, but we always know more new people. And we can send a instruction, and if they have, let's say, 20 different types of devices, they can do by themselves. Upload on GitHub, and then we approve the PR, and it'll be ready to go. So everybody can use it.
Oh, very cool. So there's this aspect to it that's saying, hey, let's not gatekeep wherever possible. Let's make sure everybody has access to this stuff.
Exactly.
And I know you guys have a great support. I know when I first got on there and had some problems, Freddie came on and said, oh, try this, do this, you missed this. And, you know, all of a sudden everything worked. So that was super cool to see just how proactive Tago is in making sure that the kind of customer onboarding piece went well. What do you think you guys do that is special in this world? There's a couple other folks out there who are saying like, hey, you can visualize data with our platform. What's so special about Tago?
There are a few aspects. And frankly, one is the non-technical. Basically, what you just mentioned about support. Instead of doing a lot of, let's say, advertising, we focus on spend all money that you have on the best support you can give, right? So if you have a free account, if you're a student, you are testing, we're going to do the best. We used to say here internally that we're going to support this person if their problem, as if they would be our top customer. We really do that, right? Because we learn a lot as well. And that's one differentiation. I know that a lot of the companies, you think that, okay, I need to spend a maximum 20 minutes to apply a ticket. And now if the big customer is fine, so we say, no, we're going to support everyone. And that's something that people recognize and help with the business as well. But from the technical side, it's really about the full stack. We really focus on continuing to improve our platform so we will not be recognized only by the dashboards, visualizations, or mobile app, but also a very strong, solid backend with features that are really relevant. That would be much easier for people to come to Tago.io and do the configuration instead of going to, you know, the AWS or their, you know, different cloud out there. So it's much more really related to IoT. And of course, you have the portal, the 2FA, SSO, a lot of configurations that is not for them, the developers, but for their customers. So I think that's really different because we really are trying to anticipate, and I think we did a very good job there, to help our customers to have a lot of information and features for their customers. I think that looks like, yeah, a lot of people do that, but we really did that, right? And we made a lot of mistakes through this year, but sure. I think we refined because we got inputs from the customer. It's not like we're looking around and, yeah, not to do this and that because other people are doing that. No, it's really because we talk with the customers and we try out.
Got it. So one thing I'm hearing there that comes through in all of these conversations on the Business LoRaWAN podcast is when I ask people like, what's so important? They say, oh, you find a business problem and you solve it. And I can see Tag.io has taken that a step further and saying, hey, we found this business problem and we're going to solve it not only for our customers, but for their customers as well, so that everybody in the whole kind of line gets some value out of what we're doing. I can see that being super sticky and really helpful to your customers, is thinking kind of beyond just what they need, but also what their downstream customers need.
Yeah, that's a good point because we, you know, the customer obsession, we use like customer success obsession. So the little or small difference here is that our concern is really beyond the customer. We want to make sure that they succeed the way they provide information or service to their customer. And it's exactly not the same thing because sometimes I say, yeah, you know, this customer maybe need to do things differently or frankly, sometimes should not be work with us, should be work with somebody else or doing something different,
right?
Because it'd be better for you. And people say, really? Are you saying that, are you okay if I go in the other direction? Say, yeah, I believe that would be better for you. We do this a few times because that's our goal, really make sure that they can trust that we are, and I'll try to help them.
And it's always fun to be a good guy and say, hey, here's what I think is going to be really good for you. And that almost always, or in my experience, has always come back to me in some way, shape, or form, whether it's the satisfaction of going and seeing that someone just went out and crushed it, or it comes back to you in some other piece. That's a super cool perspective to have. Now, Medio Scientific and Tag.io are in a very similar business of helping people with IoT. We do it in different ways, and you guys are, of course, much more developed and much bigger. But one thing I think both of us are seeing is this wave of AI coming and saying, okay, here's what's going to be next. And I'm sure both of us are thinking, how do we incorporate it into our businesses? What do you see happening with Tag.io and AI in the future, whether that's 6 months, a year, 2 years, whatever?
Yeah. I don't know how far can we go with our vision because it's changed so often. So I don't have this, let's say, the goal to say, okay, I know what's going to happen, what I really believe is going to happen. I don't know.
Sure.
But I can say what we have been doing. We added tools that will be running inside of Tag.io to do basically two things. One is to speed up development, okay, really to help the developer. For example, today you have a search inside of our admin. With AI, you can do better search. For example, you can ask, even if you do a typo, you can get a better result. Or if you want to see the tags or location, you can do quests differently. So also you can use the AI to write because Tago is simple from one way, but it's also powerful from the other. And for the powerful part, it's necessary to write a little bit of code here and there. So the AI is helping there. So we already have this version. And by the way, we had a webinar yesterday about how to use these tools. And the other part is use AI to get insights to make sure that our customers can offer better solutions to their customers, right? So for example, do analysis of their data that they have from their devices. So that's not really during the development phase, but during the runtime. So we added these tools, and we also added the MCP recently, that is more the context protocol that's up and running 100%. So people are very happy with that, but it's very beginning, very early stage. So we don't know what's going to happen, but we see the adoption. And frankly, we are using a lot. We have a small team of developers inside of Tag.io that help customers day by day, and they are using this and doing great. So I think that's the part that I see AI. There are other things that I guess may happen because, as you know, AI is so expensive. So how you make sure that you can offer these tools and be reasonable in terms of a cost, right? We don't have billions of dollars like the other companies, like the, not the IoT companies, but the AI domain.
Sure.
So we are offering these tools and collecting feedback.
Got it. Oh, interesting. Interesting that you're saying that AI is so expensive. It has seemed to me as a single user that it's fairly cheap for what you get. I mean, even Grok 4 Heavy at $300 a month, it's like, man, that's a pretty competent developer. I can't find a competent developer on, you know, Upwork for $300 a month. Where are you guys seeing that it's most expensive, or where are you guys having to be most careful with it?
Oh, that's a great point. You know, I totally agree with you. That's excellent. So if you use the AI in our experience, and as I said, pay $200, $300 to help you during the development, great, right? Because maybe you can have just one junior engineer or you with a lot of experience in your business, but not coding every day,
yep.
Right? So great acquisition, great ROI. I was referring more the cost when you start to do analytics, okay? Because if you have, let's say, 1,000 sensors, that's not too much, 1,000 IoT sensors, and you have data from years, and collecting every minute, you're going to have billions or trillions of data points. So you may be tempted to do a prompt like, show me what happened last year with this compressor. And you're going to cost from the AI perspective and also from our servers, because you're going to extract billions of data points. So it's a little bit tricky how you do that. And we want to make sure that you could break this in parts and even send a notification for you is say, hey, Nick, do you really want me to analyze everything here? It's going to cost billions of data requests. And they say, oops, I didn't know that. So maybe you needed to pre-prepare the data in chunks. So you have maybe the result from every day or every week. Then you have the aggregated data. So that's the part that I have seen AI helping as well. But many humans, right? The developers are like, okay, I need to be careful here because otherwise it can be so expensive to run even simple things.
Yeah, it is pretty wild that once you start using it, you just want to apply it to everything. But in many cases, you can just write, you know, some quick Python that will do the job that you want to do without doing anything with AI, or you just use LLM to help you write the Python and that's it. And then you send it, you know, and fire it off and get the data you need. Okay. Super cool. Is there anything else that you've learned? I mean, you've been running Tago.io for a while. One of the ways I think about this is if you were to start over today and someone said, okay, you've got to go into IoT. Now, what are you going to do? Where are you going to start? And you're just starting with what you got. Where would you start? Where would you focus your efforts?
Yeah, that's not a fair question.
No, it's
much
not.
Easier now, right? The scenario is very different.
Yeah.
You think that now we are better than few years ago. I think, of course, we are from one side, but also the competition, the scenario are more complex. I think one of the key things is, and it's very standard, right? I think that maybe we created too many things. I think we really do like, as a platform, to do just the basic very well, right? That's kind of a good advice from all guys that I know that had success, right? Say, hey, don't create too many things. Don't create things that customers don't want. The problem is if you're doing this at the early stage of the business or the market, how you know? So if you just create, let's say, visualization, like we start doing that more visualization at the beginning, like 10 years ago, people say, well, that's great, but I want analytics behind. And say, okay, you can do analytics using the software. And they say, no, I want to do here, right? So we start to add analytics and so on. So at the end of the day, we went up with a very big system and we had to make sure that it would be working very well together, right? And so I think now we probably would, as we are doing now, spend even more time with your customers to try to understand what are they really pains. Right. I think we did a good job there, but I think, well, I would do even more today at the beginning. The problem is that sometimes when you know too much, you may not end up doing nothing. Right? So there are the pros and cons. So I'm not going to frankly don't think about that, to be very fair, because I don't know how much it is going to help me right now. But I think listen to customers, something that we're doing, and I say just if I start again, that probably I would do a little bit more.
Interesting. And it's such good advice, even though it seems simple to you and I, and I think we have basically the same problem, just very different amounts of scale, is I'll do all kinds of projects all the time because someone will say like, oh, can you do this? And I'm like, oh yeah, sure. And I go off and do it. And you end up with 900 projects that now you have to interconnect those 900 projects and they all have to work together. And one project has to be able to talk to the other. And I think there are many cases where, as you said, if you just focused on making sure the customer is getting what they want and you're not building just the thing that you think is kind of fun to build, there's got to be a nice balance there. And it sounds like the piece of advice there is really focus on the customer and stay as focused as you can. Super cool there. What's next for Tag.io? What do you see kind of coming down the pipe in the next, I don't know, like 6 months to a year?
Yeah, the key thing is really the AI, right? To integrate this in a way that would be really very helpful to customers. And the second part is really to bring all these tools so that it can help them to have a competitive advantage. Because that is, for me, if you think about AI, that's the key thing that I always think every day, frankly. If I think about one thing, AI is about how do we create competitive advantage at the long term. And I don't know. I don't think anybody knows the answer, right? Because it's like BlackBerry, 12 years ago. And at the beginning, you had BlackBerry, great, could go faster. And a few years later, everybody had one, like something like an iPhone now. So what's the competitive advantage? So we are really, again, talking for customers. And we are in a phase that we are adding the AI to help them to create competitive advantage. So customization is a bigger thing, right? So that's the kind of thing that is very hard to do. I don't think it's hard to add AI to do something, but to help them to create the environment that they need for the customization, that's a bigger thing. For example, how about if you go to Tag.io and say, hey, I have this device in my hand and I want you to do a cold chain management, create a dashboard for me with the alerts. I can tell you right now, it's going to do it with Tag.io in our version that we're testing here inside the Tag.io. We want to give this to the customer. How you do that, right? In a way that they can use it and that they can work well and that they can debug, because that is the challenge, right? So you see AI, then you need to debug this stuff because it's not a toy. Some people come into Tag.io to test, to do something very simple, like some makers, the students, that's great. But many will come to us to do sort of professional applications that are going to be running very important things for many, many years ahead. So how you make sure that is really validate, robust with AI, that's the thing that we are going to spend a lot of time. So that's what in my vision is really ahead when I'm going to, and my team will put the efforts.
Got it. So one way I'm thinking, I mean, as we kind of wrap this up, one of the takeaways I've got is that I think of Tag.io as really the execution piece of a strategy. And so a business comes to you and says, hey, here's what we want. You guys figure it out and return to us the information that we need. And there's so much in there to say like, okay, here's the device you want. Here's how the device connects to the internet. Here's the backhaul piece. Here's the decoder, like all of these different things. And at the end of the day, the business that comes to you doesn't have to deal with any of that. It all generally just works as you plug it in and they get back the thing that they want, which is in this case, cold chain management. I mean, I'm talking to, I think FedEx tomorrow or the next day, they're super interested in this whole, like, how do you make it so that a normal customer who's shipping cold desserts and is not technical, how do they know the cheapest way to do it, the fastest way to do it, like the normal way to do it without spending $400 a box, which is what a drug company can spend, but not a small dessert company. So it seems like lots and lots of people are specifically interested in cold chain, but also in just this, just give me a solution. And that seems like what Tag.io is really doing well.
Yeah. Yeah. We see about 85% of our customers, they go to our portal, they read the documentation. I mean, they open an account, read the documentation or some example, and they created their solution not only for a few devices, but even for hundreds of thousands of devices. And many times they not even talk to us. They said, oh, we are good. I'm here in Japan or Singapore. I have my application is up and running well. But about 15% of them really want to have a relationship, want our help, not like a consultant, but someone that's helped them to create an application on top of a Tag.io and potentially give you a referral, right? They may ask, hey, I need a hardware like that. You know someone. then say, okay, take a look in this one, in that one. So you're right. They have a problem that many times they are not the expert in this domain. And that's the beauty of the IoT in my experience. That's why I really love this. IoT is a lot for the mechanical engineers. It's a lot for the technicians, for the managers, right? They have restaurants, they have a machine, and they don't understand about all this stuff. You know what? They don't need to if they have the right partners. So you're right. They come to us a few times to have this conversation. And then we try to get around of the IoT. You know, what are the best guys with connectivity? I talk to Nick, right? Get this hardware here and there and so on. So that's how I believe we're succeeding.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys are doing well. You've been around for a while. You keep growing. So it's super good to see you out there. Yeah. Fabio, thanks so much for making the time. I know you're really busy as a founder and CEO. So thanks so much for coming on and talking to us about what's going on in the world of LoRaWAN. Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for this episode of The Business of LoRaWAN. I built this for you. So whether you're a business owner, a LoRaWAN professional, or a hobbyist, the intent is to give you great LoRaWAN information. Of course, the best information doesn't come from me. It comes from the conversations we have with the people building and deploying this tech in the real world. And that's where you come in. LoRaWAN is a global patchwork of talent and ideas. And ironically, for a globally connected network, most of the brilliant folks working on it aren't connected yet. Help me change that. Introduce me to someone awesome in your network, someone doing meaningful work in LoRaWAN, or just shoot me a name. I'll take it from there and get them on the show so we can share their work with the world. You can always find me at metsci.show, that's metsci.show, metsci.show. If you want to support the show in other ways, you can subscribe, leave a review, share it with your corner of the world. All of those are super helpful. If you'd like to support financially, you can go to support.metsci.show for both one-time and recurring options. We're also open to sponsors. If your company serves the LoRaWAN community and you want to reach this dedicated audience, let's talk. If you want to try LoRaWAN for yourself, create a Medio Scientific account at console.medioscientific.com and get your first 400 DC for free, which is enough to run a device sending hourly for about a year. This show is supported by a grant from the Helium Foundation and produced by Gristle King, Inc. I'm Nick Hawks. I'll see you on the next show.